Let me invite you to stand, take your Bible, and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Heavenly Father, again, you've heard our declaration this morning. We would be like Jesus. And as we participate in these emblems today representing His broken body and spilt blood, as we partake in these things, may they nourish us spiritually and that we would grow fat. Thank you, Father, for being with each one of us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This past week at our prayer meeting, and by the way, prayer meetings is on Wednesdays, and we're studying from the book Great Controversy. And also this week, I had opportunity to attend the funeral of Desi Holland Hicks, Gloria's mom. And my heart went out to the people of that church. I mean, we went there, 400 or 500 people. People who are well-to-do financially, held in high esteem in the community, involved in, you know, civic activities, and they love Jesus, very sincere. But in all honesty, my heart went out to them because they are sincerely wrong. And I thought about us and the work that God has called us to do to prepare a people for Jesus to come. And I want you to know that we have, we have an opportunity. We have Pastor Dale Pollitt is going to be with us in October. We're going to do an evangelistic series. And somehow, wouldn't it be great if we could reach out to each one of these sincere individuals who love Jesus, and that they would know the truth. The truth will set you free, the Scriptures tell us. So I thought this morning I would share with you from the Great Controversy about the days in which we live. This past week we studied, or the last 2 weeks, we have spent it in chapter 36, and is titled The Impending Conflict. And I want to share with you, I can't read the whole chapter, but I just want to share some of the highlights because it pinpoints the days in which we live, and it shares the urgency which we should be experiencing in preparing for that glad day when Jesus comes in the clouds of glory. And certainly, we are living in the last days. Folks, what happened in Japan there a week and a half ago is not by accident. It was planned. And I want to tell you, there's none other behind it than the devil himself. It says, from the very beginning of the great controversy in heaven, it has been Satan's purpose to overthrow the law of God. It was to accomplish this that he entered upon rebellion against the Creator. And though he was cast out of heaven, he had continued the same warfare upon the earth to deceive men and thus lead them to transgress God's law. It is his object, to deceive men and thus lead them to transgress God's law is the object which he has steadfastly pursued. Whether this be accomplished by casting aside the law altogether or by ejecting one of its precepts, the results will ultimately be the same. He that offends in one point manifests contempt for the whole law. His influence and example are on the side of transgression. He becomes guilty of sin. In seeking to cast contempt upon the divine statutes, Satan has perverted the doctrines of the Bible, and hearers have thus become incorporated into the faith of thousands who profess to believe the Scriptures. The last great conflict between truth and error is but the final struggle of a long-standing controversy concerning the law of God. Upon this battle, we are now entering a battle between the laws of men and the precepts, laws of Jehovah, between the religion of the Bible and the religion of fable and tradition. If you are reading Liberty Magazine, by the way, today was your last opportunity for this year to sponsor Liberty Magazine for yourself, your family, or for some of the thought leaders in the community. I trust that you will take advantage of that and fill it out and receive that journal. It's probably one of the best journals in the world dealing with separation of church and state, and they keep you abreast of what's happening as far as our legislators are concerned. So as Satan goes about his work to deceive, and his deceit is to lead people away from God. One of the things that the devil has done is he uses truth and error mixed together. Now, if you've got strychnine, and you put milk in it, does that make it any less lethal? No. It's probably worse because you're being deceived when you drink it. This is exactly what he has done with God's Word, is a mixture of error and truth. And people has laid hold to the fables, they've laid hold to the traditions of men, rather than standing on the thus saith the Lord. And the devil is sweeping these people into a lost eternity. And it breaks Jesus' heart. We have a message to proclaim. The agencies which will unite against truth and righteousness in this contest are now actively at work. God's holy word, which has been handed down to us at such cost of suffering and blood, is but little value. The Bible is within the reach of all, but there are few who really accept it as the guide of life. Infidelity prevails to an alarming extent, not only in the world merely, but in the church. Many have come to deny the doctrines which are the very pillars of the Christian faith. The great facts of creation as presented by the inspired writers, the fall of man, the atonement, and the perpetuation of the law of God are practically rejected, either wholly or in part, by a large part of professed Christian world. Thousands who pride themselves upon their wisdom and independence regard it as evidence of weakness to place implicit confidence in the Bible. They think it is a proof of superior talent and learning to cavil at the Scriptures and to spiritualize and explain away these most important truths. Many ministers are teaching their people, and many professors and teachers are instructing their students that the law of God has been changed or abrogated, and those who regard its requirements are still valid, to be literally obeyed, and are taught to be deserving only of ridicule and contempt. In rejecting truth, men reject its author. In trampling upon the law of God, they deny the authority of the lawgiver. It is as easy to make an idol of false doctrines and theories as it is to fashion an idol of wood or stone. By misrepresenting the attributes of God, Satan leads men to conceive of him in a false character, with many a philosophical idol is enthroned in the place of Jehovah, while the living God, as he is revealed in his word, in Christ, and in the works of creation, is worshipped but by few. Thousands deify nature while they deny the God of nature. Though in a different form, idolatry exists in the Christian world today as verily as it existed among ancient Israel in the days of Elijah. The God of many professedly wise men and philosophers, poets, politicians, journalists, the God of polished fashionable circles, of many colleges and universities, even of some theological institutions, is little better than Baal, the sun god of Phoenicia. No error accepted by the Christian world strikes more boldly against the authority of heaven. None is more directly opposed to the dictates of reason. None is more pernicious in its results than the modern doctrine so rapidly gaining ground that God's law is no longer binding upon men. Every nation has its laws which command respect and obedience. No government could exist without them. And can it be conceived that the Creator of heaven and the earth has no law to govern the beings he has made? Suppose that prominent ministers were publicly to teach that the statutes which govern their land and protect the rights of his citizens were not, obligatory? Yeah, that's it. Say it again. Yes, that's it. Obligatory. That they restrict the liberties of the people and therefore ought not to be obeyed. How long would such men be tolerated in the pulpit? But it is a graver offense to disregard the law. But is it a graver offense to disregard the laws of states and nations than to trample upon those divine precepts which are the foundations of all governments? It would be far more consistent for nations to abolish their statutes and permit the people to do as they please than for the ruler of the universe to annul his law and leave the world without a standard to condemn the guilty or justify the obedient. And we could read through this, and you'll see that Satan is doing his best to make people believe that God changed his law or that his law has been done away with, is not binding on mankind today. And if you go back and read the history books, what happened in France when they burned the Bibles and threw out God's law, it was anarchy, it was tyranny, and it was only those who were the most ruthless that prospered. The reason they prospered because they stole and pillaged and killed whom they thought fit. There was nobody to defend innocent. Already the doctrine that men are released from obedience to God's requirements have weakened the forces of moral obligation and opened the floodgates of iniquity upon the world. Lawlessness, dissipation, and corruption are sweeping in upon us like an overwhelming tide. In the family, Satan is at work. His banner waves even in professedly Christian households. There is envy, evil, surmising, hypocrisy, strife, betrayal of sacred truths, indulgence of lust, the whole system of religious principles and doctrines which should form the foundation and framework of social life seems to be a tottering mass ready to fall in ruin. The vilest of criminals, when thrown in prison for their offenses, are often made the recipients of gifts and attentions as they had attained an enviable distinction. Great publicity is given to their character and crimes. The press publishes the revolting details of vice, thus initiating others into the practice of fraud and robbery and murder. And Satan exults in the success of his hellish schemes. The iniquity and spiritual darkness that prevail under supremacy of Rome were the inevitable results of her suppression of the scriptures. But where is to be found the cause of the widespread infidelity, the rejection of the law of God, and the consequent corruption? Under the full blaze of gospel light in an age of religious freedom, now that Satan can no longer keep the world under his control by withholding the scriptures, he resorts to other means to accomplish his purpose as well as to destroy the Bible itself. By introducing the belief that God's law is not binding, he has effectually led men to transgress as if they were wholly ignorant of its precepts. The leaders of the Sunday movement may advocate reforms which the people need, principles which are in harmony with the Bible. Yet while there is with these a requirement which is contrary to God's law, his servants cannot unite with them. Nothing can justify them in setting aside the commandments of God for the precepts of men. Through the two great errors, the immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness, Satan will bring the people under his deceptions. While the former lays the foundation for spiritualism, the latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. We see that Satan, you know, has moved away from the witchcraft and all that kind of stuff, and he has become religious in nature, and he has moved right into the church, and he presents the truth and the error together, and that's what makes it so dangerous. It says, as spiritualism more closely imitates the nominal Christianity of the day, it has greater power to deceive and ensnare. Satan himself is converted after the modern order of things. He will appear in the character of an angel of light. Through the agency of spiritualism, miracles will be wrought, the sick will be healed, and many undeniable wonders will be performed. And as these spirits will profess faith in the Bible and manifest respect for the institution of the church, their work will be accepted as a manifestation of divine power. The line of distinction between professed Christians and the ungodly are now hardly distinguishable. Church members love what the world loves and are ready to join with them, and Satan determines to unite them in one body and thus strengthen his cause by sweeping all into the ranks of spiritualism. Papists who boast of miracles as a certain sign of the true church will be readily deceived by this wonder-working power, and Protestants, having cast away the shield of truth, will also be deluded. Papists, Protestants, and worldlings will alike accept the form of godliness without the power, and they will see in this union a grand movement for the conversion of the world and the ushering in of the long-expected millennium. Through spiritualism, Satan appears as a benefactor of the race, healing the diseases of the people and professing to present a new and more exalted system of religious faith. But at the same time, he works as a destroyer. His temptations are leading multitudes to ruin. Intemperance dethrones reasons. And Satan delights in... Intemperance dethrones reason. Sexual indulgence, strife, and bloodshed follow. Satan delights in war, for it excites the worst passion of the soul and then sweeps into eternity as victims steeped in vice and blood. It is his object to incite the nations to war against one another, for he can thus divert the minds of the people from the work of preparation to stand in the day of God. Folks, the gospel has been going into these Middle Eastern countries, but the devil has got every one of them involved in some kind of strife, if it's not civil war or fighting with some other nation. They are so focused on themselves and the war, they can't listen to the gospel. and they're going to be swept into eternity and lost. Another one, Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratory. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. When he was suffered to afflict Job, how quickly floods and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away. One trouble succeeding another as in a moment. It is God that shields his creatures and edges them from the power of the destroyer. But the Christian world have sown contempt for the law of Jehovah, and the Lord will do just what he has declared that he would. He will withdraw his blessings from the earth and remove his protecting care from those who are rebelling against his law and teaching and forcing others to do the same. Satan has control of all whom God does not especially guard, and he will favor and prosper some in order to further their own designs, but he will bring trouble upon others and lead men to believe that it is God who is afflicting them. While appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster upon the populous cities and reduce to ruin and desolation. Even now he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes and terrible hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves and earthquakes in every place, and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. Just over the last few years, the floods and fires and tornadoes, the devastation that's happened, not just in, you know, our part of the world, all over, in South America, in Australia, in Europe, in all these different countries and folks, it is the devil that's behind it. You know, this thing didn't happen by accident in Japan. With these nuclear plants, the air has been tainted. And all these things she has spoken about. And it just destroys man's confidence in the Creator. If he's a God of love, why does he allow something like that to happen? The reason it has happened is because men has rejected God, and he is withdrawing his spirit from the earth. And as we study scriptures, it is only going to get worse. But what I'm telling you is that you need to know what's there. To the law and to the testimony, if it's not according to this word, there's no light in it. But because you believe what's written in there, these other Christians will accept it, and they're very sincere because they have never studied the scriptures to know what it says completely. They believe what their preachers has told them, and they've been deceived. They will enact laws thinking that they will do away with, you know, all the iniquity that is going forth in the earth. And by doing that, they think they're going to please God. But what they're doing is doing away with his laws. And it's only going to bring worse and worse trouble upon the world. So get to know God. Trust him. I would encourage you this afternoon, get the Great Controversy out. Just read chapter 36, dealing with impending conflict. And let the Holy Spirit move upon your heart. Surely you will understand the days in which we live. Your heart will go out in gratitude to the Lord for the wisdom that you have, but he'll also give you the wisdom so you can be as wise as serpent and share this beautiful truth that you have with others to prepare them for Jesus to come. And as we participate in these emblems today, representing his broken body and spilt blood, Lord, folks, these are to strengthen us. It gives us an opportunity. If we've got trouble between brothers and sisters in the church, it's an opportunity to wash away the alienation, the jealousy, the hatred, and bring us back together so we can stand together as one. And as we partake in the emblems representing his broken body and spilt blood, they will strengthen us spiritually to grow in his grace.